Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. A few years ago, I read an article by former Fuller Theological Seminary president Richard Mao. He tells of driving with his wife through northern Minnesota, and in one of the small towns they passed through, they noticed that the local Lutheran church was celebrating its centennial. In front of the church building, there was a large sign that said, 100 years of grace. You know, Mao says, that church could have chosen many other ways to describe themselves and their history. They might have emphasized their accomplishments as a church. They could have said something like, serving this community for 100 years, or a century of ministry, or 100 years of reaching out to all. But they didn't. Instead, they simply said 100 years of grace. They saw their presence in that town as a sign of God's grace, God's love, and God's presence. What a great way to describe their church. It wasn't about something they had done or accomplished, but something God had done. As Pastor Lowe said last week, only God changes the heart, creates hope in and through the promise each of us has in Jesus Christ, that God loves you, accepts you, and blesses you just as you are. This morning we sit with the memory of all those generations of people who have gone before us. Who knows what tomorrow will bring? Who knows what challenges and changes lie ahead? But whatever the future, the good news is that we are not alone. The living God is here and at work among us. Over the course of my messages this summer, I've tried to first and foremost focus on God's grace. God's grace is at the center of my theology. It's my lens in which I interpret Scripture and how I understand biblical faith. Grace is nothing that we have earned, achieved, or even deserved. It's the free gift of God's love, God's forgiveness, and God's presence in our lives. And a few weeks ago, I talked about what our response to God's grace looks like. With God's grace always comes God's call. God calls us to respond to grace by sharing it with others, by living as God calls us to live. And I ask the congregation to consider, what's God's call in your life right now? But God's grace and God's call are always lived out among God's people, in community, the church. In our scripture text for this Sunday, the Apostle Paul is responding to the varied gifts that each person in the Corinthian church possesses. He uses the metaphor of the human body to illustrate that each part is essential and matters to the whole. Together, we are the body of Christ, built on a foundation whose cornerstone is Christ himself. The church is not just a building. The church is people. In the letter of 1 Peter, the writer describes the church in this way. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people. We belong to God. We are part of a family, a community, with purpose and an identity. And each of us is the dwelling place of God wherever we go during the week. Our real work takes place in our homes and families, downtown, in the schools, the hospital, the grocery store, on boards where we serve, and places where we volunteer. We meet at church for worship, nurture, and fellowship, but we're always sent out to do God's work in the world. And the good news is that we're never alone. God is with us and will see us through. I told the men's breakfast groups this week that throughout my life, every time I've stepped out in faith to trust God, most of the time beyond my comfort zone, I've been transformed. Whether it's in my giving or a mission trip to India, walking alongside a good friend who was battling cancer, or serving at a homeless shelter. All of these experiences helped to change my course and led me to becoming one of your pastors. Years ago, my friends and mentors and encouragers, Pastors Casey and Bob Baggett, told me a story about sharks being the most popular species found in a home aquarium. You wouldn't think this, would you? But here's the interesting thing. If you catch a small shark and confine it, it will stay the size proportionate to the aquarium in which it's confined. Sharks can stay 6 inches long, yet fully mature if they live in a really small space. But if you turn sharks loose in the ocean, they'll grow to their normal size of 8 feet or more. Well, perhaps the same phenomenon happens to us Christians. If we don't challenge ourselves by stepping out of our comfort zones, we can remain cute little 6-inch Christians who swim around in a very small puddle. But then we miss out on the greatness the Apostle Paul describes in his letter to the Ephesians. As the collective body of Christ, again, using the human body and its physical growth as a metaphor, we, the people of Mount Olivet Church, can mature and grow to a size proportionate to our head, which is Jesus Christ. Now that is enormous potential. For some time now, I've known I would stand in this pulpit today for the last time as your full-time called pastor. I bring very mixed emotions to this moment, but far more than anything else this morning, I feel a spirit of profound gratitude. I am grateful for all the ways in which you have loved me and my family. You have been and are our friends. You have encouraged and supported me in my ministry with you through all the ups and downs, the challenges, the accomplishments we've shared together. I marvel at the mystery of how God has been at work among us. As a church and in our personal lives, we're all on a journey into the future. Life is always filled with change. We are forever saying goodbye to someone or something. We are forever welcoming the new, or we are challenged by it. Things change for the better and sometimes for the worse. Change happens in our families and work, our community and world. Our health and finances change. Some changes bring loss and grief. Some changes bring joy and newness that energize us. But change means letting go of the life of the way we've known it and accepting a new reality. But change always means an openness to God's presence, praying to God, listening for God, and trusting God. For over 100 years, generations of people in this church have trusted God for the future. During good times and bad, they've stepped out in faith to do God's work in this world. And today we stand on the shoulders of those people who, through hard work and sacrifice, have built Mount Olivet into the church it is and have reached out to this community with ministries of care and compassion. Frederick Buechner says it so well. Listen to your life. See it for the fathomless mystery it is, in the boredom and pain of it, no less than in the excitement and gladness. Touch, taste, smell your way to the holy and hidden heart of it. Because in the last analysis, all moments are key moments. And life itself is gift and grace. So today I celebrate with you God's goodness. To paraphrase the poet Mary Oliver, we say, look at this church and at each other. We laugh with joy and astonishment, and we bow our heads and give thanks to the God who gives us the gift of life and of each other. Grace upon grace. Amen.